Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemfusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemfusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemfusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I'm joined by Conrad Black, Lord Black from Toronto, a distinguished biographer, an observer of Canadian politics, all Canadian politics. But right now we're going to focus on the recent election in which Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, the leader of the Liberals, was returned to office in a snap election with much of the same minority government he had before. However, following that election, global events, Meng Wanzhou, the CFO of Huawei, suspect of having dealt with sanctioned state Iran, under extradition orders by the United States to Canada, was released to fly home to China and appear to the CCTV in a red dress, praising Xi Jinping, the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party. Puzzle. Immediately, at the same time, instantaneously timed, the two Canadian nationals who'd been held for, I think, 1,000 days since December of 2018, the two Michaels, were put on a plane and sent home to Canada, claiming that their health matters released them from the sentencing they'd received from the Chinese government. Despite the fact that we're now dealing with a non-transparency in China, we can look at the Canadian side. Conrad, this looks like a cynical deal between Mr. Trudeau's government and the United States and Beijing to wait for the results of the election and then assert that suddenly there was a deal worked out. Does this return of a suspect lawbreaker who'd been detained in her mansions in Vancouver since December of 2018, does this return suggest that Canada collapsed to the demands of the Chinese, mentioning that the People's Republic of China has pummeled Canada these last years, including embargoes, tariffs, tough language? Did Trudeau give in? Good evening to you, Conrad.
Yeah, good evening to you. Well, I would be more generous than that, John. In the first place, I hope you and your American listeners will not take offense when I say this, but I don't approve of the Canada-U.S. extradition treaty. I think a country that has such a high conviction rate on criminal prosecutions as the United States is not a place that we should be sending fugitives back to. I mean, we may choose to not to allow them to stay in Canada, but we shouldn't be in a position where we're treaty bound to return them to a country with such a high conviction rate. I don't think it is a fair justice system, I regret to say. But in this case, I mean, obviously the Chinese seizure of the two Michaels was an outrage. There's not the remotest legal color of right for doing such a thing. It's just the usual communist Chinese high-handed arrogance. And as you said, you know, they did nothing but bully and threaten Canada for years. But with all that said, I don't think releasing this lady to return to China is in itself such a bad thing. What you know, the broader story to me was that Huawei conducted industrial intelligence espionage in Canada, bankrupted one of our leading companies, Nortel, stole all their technology, and that it was on that basis that they've become such a gigantic worldwide company. And I think we should demand reparations from the Chinese for that. But I wouldn't do it by imprisoning one of their executives, or at least detaining her. Not even, she was under house arrest in a very comfortable home, but still not free to move. But so I don't think it was a bad deal. But the role of the United States in it is what interests me. And what did they bring to the party? I mean, obviously they released Canada from its obligation under the extradition treaty, but on what basis? So I think that it actually was nonsense to detain her in the first place, so it's not bad to let her go. The detention and the sentencing, I mean, they'd sentence these two Michaels to death, you know, and we always assumed they wouldn't carry it out, but still, it's a pretty outrageous and nerve-wracking thing to do to people who weren't breaking or infringing any rules or laws in China. So at least we got all that out of the way, and I don't see it as a sellout by Justin, but actually, I think he held his ground reasonably well. I would have to say that from what I can see. But there, I, again, to take up on one of your points, there are clearly some undercurrents and secret clauses to that tripartite agreement that we don't know. So I think we'd want to have a look at those before we signed off on it.
Let's look at China's aggression towards Canada these last years. I mentioned the embargoes, your foodstuffs, but their language also has been hostile. They call it Wolf Warrior. The new ambassador, Tong, from China to Canada, made remarks during the late campaign, deliberately provocative remarks directed at Aaron O'Toole, the leader of the opposition, who was challenging Mr. Trudeau. In my country, since 2016, that's been known as interference by a foreign hostile power, such as Russia here in the United States, and it's been treated angrily by the U.S. government, by Congress. At this point, I'm not certain that Mr. Trudeau's government or parliament is going to move against China. This isn't freedom of speech. This is deliberate interference.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, in fairness, I think that the Trudeau government did respond to the embargoes and the tariffs and sanctions and all that nonsense. I think they took responsive measures that were equivalent. And the fact is China does better because of the manipulative way they operate their currency and their trading techniques in the direct account between the two countries. So we have the ability to kick them in the shins just as hard as they kick us. The threatening part was not terribly highly publicized in this country and was disparaged by everybody. There would be a unanimous consensus in Canada that we're not about to be bullied around by the Chinese. I mean, they don't hold any threat over us that is bothersome to us. And so I think that was hot air. But on the other hand, I guess China's representing it to their cheering section in the Far East and Southern Asia as illustrative of their ability to bulldoze the Canadians and the Americans, but I don't think that's what it is. I mean, unfortunately, we're now dealing with a China that is becoming sort of mouthy and annoying, and that is bothersome when it's a powerful country that is behaving in that way. But I think the feeling in this country is that, you know, we weren't particularly enthused about holding this woman in the first place, and we got the people of our citizenship who were being unfairly treated back, and the Chinese covered it with a lot of hot air about how they bent us and the Americans their will, but that's all it is hot air. I don't think Justin was bad on this, but I think the Chinese, since they are making a habit of threatening and annoying and provoking almost everybody, we don't need to have an unlimited knowledge of history to realize that you can get into trouble with that. I mean, China is not as strong as the group of countries it's offending on its rim, from India across to Japan, as long as the United States is supporting that group. I mean, China's not as strong as that combination of countries, not remotely as strong. And they're going to learn a painful lesson if they keep provoking the majority of the world. And that's what they're doing.
One more
detail.
They can
plow all the money they want into the middle of Africa. That's not going to get them any influence.
One more detail emerged from the late campaign. This with regard to China. Aaron O'Toole, the representative of the opposition, commented during the revelation of the AUKUS deal, Australia, United Kingdom, and the U.S., that if elected prime minister, he would move to join that immediately. Is that part of the conversation now in Canada, to join with Australia, the United Kingdom, and the U.S. To contain China's aggression?
I would say on the fringe of being of that status. There's more focus on why weren't we apparently invited to join it in the first place.
Right.
And we understand, you know, it's the old Five Eyes group, You know, and we understand they left New Zealand out because the prime minister is a left-wing kook. But why leave Canada out? I mean, Canada has not been an inconstant ally of the United States. And Justin Trudeau got on adequately well with President Trump and gets on very well with President Biden. So, you know, why weren't we there? I think Canadians are wondering, why weren't we asked? Because no one is suggesting we were asked and declined. And that is a matter of concern in this country, and it is rightly a matter of concern. I mean, if the British and Americans and Australians now think that Canada isn't worth recruiting as an ally, then we really have to pull our socks up and make the point that, you know, we are a serious country, or a G7 country, and we're absolutely all in with the democracies and all these things. So I think it's more focused on why wasn't Justin invited? Right. I personally think that O'Toole's position is absolutely right. I've written that. I mean, I was not impressed with the campaigning plan, and I'm not impressed with him particularly as leader of that party. But on that issue, I think he's absolutely right, and I think most Canadians would agree with me.
Conrad Black, distinguished biographer, commenting on the late election in Canada, returning Justin Trudeau as prime minister. This is CBSI on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.